1 o'clock, having arrived, I'm going to call the March 23rd, 2022 meeting of the House Taxes Committee to order under Rules 10.01. And again, for audience watching, all the materials are available. If you go to the website, Minnesota House of Representatives, then go to Committees and Divisions, then go to Taxes Committee, and on that homepage off to the right-hand side, you'll find all of the materials. Representative, we're not ready for minutes. Ms. Griska, please take the roll.
Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt present.
Representative Marquardt present. Representative Lislegard.
Lislegard present.
Representative Lislegard present. Representative Davids.
Davids present.
Representative Davids present. Representative Agbaje.
Present.
Representative Agbaje present. Representative Carlson.
I'm here. Carlson present.
Representative Carlson present. Representative Detmer.
Detmer present.
Representative Detmer present. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo present.
Representative Garofalo present. Representative Gomez.
Gomez present.
Representative Gomez present. Representative Herr.
Present.
Representative Herr present. Representative Hertas.
Hertas present.
Representative Hertas present. Representative Howard.
Howard present.
Representative Howard present. Representative McDonald. Representative Miller.
Miller present.
Representative Miller present. Representative Moran.
Present.
Representative Moran present. Representative Mortensen.
Present.
Representative Mortensen present. Representative Robbins.
Present.
Representative Robbins present. Representative Sandell.
Sandell present.
Representative Sandell present. Representative Schultz.
Present.
Representative Schultz present. Representative Stevenson.
Present.
Representative Stevenson present. Representative Swazinski.
Present.
Representative Swazinski present. Representative Joachim.
Present.
Representative Joachim present. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Ms. Griska. Representative Hertas, you made that nice compliment. Would you like to move the minutes, approval of the minutes for March 22nd?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and having made a cursory review of the minutes, I would move that we approve the minutes.
All right, we have a motion. Representative Hertas moves to approve the March 22nd, 2022 minutes. Any discussion, comments, criticisms? Hearing none, I'm going to call for you to briefly unmute, call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The March 22nd, 2022 minutes of the Taxes Committee are approved. And Representative McDonald is also in attendance. So members, today we have five bills that deal with the taxation benefits on Social Security and pensions. And what we're going to do is on the first two bills, Representative Lislegard, Representative Juergens, they each deal with the very same subject, which is full exemption of Social Security benefits from taxation. And in a bipartisan fashion, we've done this one other time, we will take both of these bills at the same time, which means we'll hear testifying for both of the bills and then any comments and so forth with both of them. We're going to move Representative Lislegard's first, but we'll, like I said, take both of them at the same time. Then we'll lay that one over, and then we'll make the motion on Representative Juergens. So just for the record, besides Representative Lislegard and Representative Juergens, others who have bills that are the same, but we're not hearing today, Representative McDonald, Representative Davids, Representative Hertas, and Representative O'Driscoll. So like that. Also, what we're going to do is we're going to move Representative Lislegard's bill, and then I'm going to ask House Research Sean Williams to give a brief description of the formula of how Social Security benefits are taxed. And so with that, Representative, and I'd like to finish these two bills by about 1:40 because we have three other bills after that. So, Representative Lislegard, would you like to move House File 2788.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lesgard moves House File 2788 for possible inclusion into the House taxonomous bill. And with that, Mr. Williams, would you please give us a little summary of how this formula works? And also, members, there is a, and I think if you haven't, if you go to House Research, there is a wonderful kind of summary of taxation. It's called Taxation of Social Security Benefits in Minnesota, done by our House Research staff. And with that, they have a calculator. So you can put in income and how much is Social Security, and it's really nice how it breaks it down, has the standard deduction and the subtraction and so forth, and it gives you differences of taxes and so forth. So I would strongly encourage members and the public to take a look at that. It's, like I said, a very thorough and complete and wonderful research. So with that, Mr. Williams.
Chair Marquardt and members, I'm going to talk about two sort of policies that affect how Social Security is taxed in Minnesota. The first is the federal exclusion for Social Security benefits, and the second is the state subtraction for Social Security benefits. Before I launch into these formulas, I thought it'd be helpful to talk briefly about provisional income. That's a measure of income we use a lot when talking about Social Security benefits. I'm not going to go into detail on how that's calculated. I think you should know it's generally broader than adjusted gross income. It starts with adjusted gross income, requires you to add back certain deductions. And I just wanted to mention the reason that the federal government uses provisional income for calculating the Social Security exclusion is to avoid a circularity in the formula. So you're sort of trying to figure out how much Social Security income is included in adjusted gross income. And so you couldn't figure that out. And it would be a circular kind of reference if the determination of how much Social Security was in adjusted gross income used adjusted gross income to make that calculation. The federal exclusion, if you want to follow along with my description of these, in all of the bill summaries for today dealing with Social Security, I put in some background information, and that's largely what I'm going to be speaking off of here. The federal exclusion for Social Security income, it ranges from 15% to 100% of benefits, depending on the taxpayer's provisional income. So if a married joint taxpayer has $32,000 or less of provisional income, 100% of their income is excluded, or Social Security benefits are excluded federally. They're not taxed. The second tier is from $32,000 to $44,000 of provisional income. So depending on where you fall in that range, up to 50% of your Social Security benefits could be subject to tax. And if your income is $44,000 or greater, your provisional income, then your exclusion could be as small as 15%, but everyone gets at least 15% excluded. In addition to that, so that federal exclusion, it's part of how we calculate adjusted gross income federally. And as you probably know, that's the starting point for Minnesota's income tax. So any amounts that are not taxed federally are not taxed for Minnesota purposes. After you go down to the Minnesota return, after you've sort of calculated that federal exclusion, if you have any income that was taxable federally, so you didn't qualify for the 100% federal exclusion, we offer a separate state subtraction for Social Security income. For tax year 2022, the subtraction for married joint filers is $5,450, and the subtraction for single filers is $4,260. So it's that amount of taxable benefits. And the subtraction is phased out beginning at $82,770 of provisional income for married joint filers. And it's phased out at around $65,000 for single filers. The last thing I was going to mention is that I get a lot of questions about sort of how contributions to Social Security get taxed. So employee payroll taxes, employee FICA taxes are made after tax, so they don't reduce your taxable income. Whereas employer contributions of payroll taxes are deductible, they're sort of pre-tax contributions. And then for self-employed individuals, they get to deduct 50% of their payroll taxes, the idea being they're sort of both the employer and the employee in that situation. And on sort of the back end, that 15% number that is the minimum exclusion you get federally was something that the 1993 Congress calculated when they were adding the 85% of Social Security income into the tax base. And the idea is that 15% was sort of based on the Social Security Administration's actuarial estimates of the ratio of taxes paid to benefits received for the sort of person who has the most payroll taxes paid and most benefits received. So hopefully that's a helpful description, and I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Williams. Any questions for Mr. Williams? And again, I would really suggest you take a look at house research and just you go to that house research and go to taxes, then go to income taxes, and that's where you'll find that research on Social Security taxation. So, thank you very much. So with that, Representative Leslegard, please talk about House File 2788. I'm going to give you introductory comments, and I'm going to move to Representative Juergens to also give introductory comments. So Representative Leslegard, then we'll go to testify.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. And just let me start by saying I wholeheartedly, from a principle base, believe that we need to eliminate the Social Security tax completely. Throughout their lives, Minnesotans work hard and pay their fair share of taxes based on their income they earn. They save their money, make wise investments, and hopefully have a pension to get through the retirement with economic security they deserve. They also pay into Social Security their whole working lives. And once they finally want to leave the workforce behind to enjoy hobbies, traveling, and most important, spend time with family and friends, taxing their Social Security income is the wrong approach. It's time we come together to eliminate this income on Social Security payments to all Minnesotans. Over the years, we've taken baby steps, and I'm proud to be a part of that. We've been in this direction, gradually increasing the Social Security subtraction. But there comes a time and point where we have to ask ourselves, instead of making incremental progress, let's just do the right thing and eliminate it totally. We've all heard from our constituents about the issues. Minnesotans frequently, consistently, and loudly tell me and others they see Social Security tax as a burden. And I'm sure I'm not alone being stopped at a grocery store, going for a walk, and listening to seniors who are dumbfounded that they have to pay this tax in the first place. It's no secret that the number one reason we haven't come together completely to eliminate this is because it is a big hit to the state coffers. As someone who strongly believes in fiscally responsible budgeting, I completely recognize a significant hit to our general fund. This year, though, with a $9.25 billion surplus, cost shouldn't be a roadblock in getting this done. Even with the general fund cost, we can't ignore the potential this bill has to benefit our state. I'm extremely confident dropping the income tax on Social Security would result in more seniors staying and living comfortably in Minnesota, paying property taxes, paying sales taxes, volunteering in our communities, donating to the very charities that our small communities rely on, and generating economic activity right here at home. We have a golden opportunity at our doorsteps to protect the economic security of Minnesotans living in their golden years. Let's stop having the debate year after year and finally fully exempt all Social Security payments from Minnesota's income taxes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you very much, Representative Leslegard. Representative Juergens, welcome to the Tax Committee. If you would like to give your opening comments.
Very good, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, and thank you for holding this hearing today and inviting Representative Leslegard and I to talk about our bills, and acknowledging that there are, I think you mentioned, four other bills that are identical that would completely eliminate state income taxes on Social Security benefits. The benefit of doing it this way and having Representative Leslegard go first is I don't need to take as much time because he's already covered some of the things that I would cover. What I want to point out is that 38 states already don't tax state income tax on Social Security benefits. Minnesota is one of just 12 states that still taxes these benefits. And I've said for years, if 38 other states can figure out how to get by without that tax income, I think we can do that in Minnesota too. I had a similar bill in the last biennium. Representative or Chair Marquardt, you were kind enough to give me a hearing on that bill as well. And I think I mentioned at that time, but for those that weren't on the committee, This came about when I was out door knocking and going through my community and talking with residents. And I remember walking up to this townhome, and there were about six or eight people sitting out having a late afternoon happy hour in their driveway, all neighbors. And this was the issue that they wanted to talk about. And the more we talked about why this is important to them, I learned at the end of the conversation that all of them have moved to Florida. They live in Florida about 7 months out of the year and only live in Minnesota about 5 months out of the year. Now, this isn't the only reason. State income taxes on Social Security benefits isn't the only reason why people choose to leave Minnesota. But why should we give them any reason to leave Minnesota when they hit retirement age? My preference is let those individuals keep that money, keep it in their pocket, let them decide how to spend it. As Representative Liz Lagarde said, when we stop taxing state income tax, it will result in a reduction into the state of Minnesota, into the Department of Revenue. This year, we have a $9.2 billion surplus. But in previous biennium, since I've been here, we've had a surplus every year. And this is one area that I think that we can eliminate the tax, keep the money in their pockets, let them decide how to spend it. They're going to spend it on things that are going to generate sales tax and income tax to other employers where they choose to spend their money. I don't think it's going to be the hit to the Department of Revenue as some people say that it will. And I don't think you can ever go wrong by letting people decide how they want to spend their money rather than sending it to the state of Minnesota and letting the state decide how to spend it. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll stop my testimony. We have some testifiers, I believe, that would like to weigh in.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Jerkins, so much. So members, what I'd like to do is go to testifiers, and I would like to ask all the testifiers to keep your testimony 2 or 3 minutes, and then when we're done, we can open that up for discussion or questions. So I ask all the testifiers to please stay on virtual here in case there's a question for you. So first up is Ida Rukavina, and then John Mulcahy, and then after that would be John Kingsbury. So Ida Rukavina.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Well, welcome to the committee, and please state your name and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Ida Rukavina, Chair Marquardt, Vice Chair Liz Lagarde, Ranking Member Davids, members of the House Tax Committee. My name is Ida Rukavina. I'm the Executive Director of the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools, known as RAMS. We're an organization that represents the cities, townships, and public schools across the Iron Range Taconite Assistance Area. And as such, we represent over 75,000 residents, 60 public sector units of government, including 19 townships, 26 cities, and 15 public school districts. RAMS has over 80 years of advocating for our region, and today we're here to voice our support for House File 2788. As an organization that works closely with mayors, city councilors, township supervisors, and school board members, we frequently hear about retirees who have trouble making ends meet. On the Iron Range, 24% of our population is 65 and older. And if you include those ages 55 and over, that's 42% of our population. The fact is, northeastern Minnesota has a higher than average share of older adults. So what does that mean for our region's local units of government and how they pay for things? Our local elected officials hear often from our senior citizens. Our mayors take into consideration the impact to homeowners and retirees in their cities when they're looking at how to pay for infrastructure, sewer, water, street improvements. When we have higher than average elderly population, we have to consider that population's ability to pay and how that impacts the services that we provide. Minnesota is an outlier when it comes to taxing Social Security benefits. We are one of only 12 states in the nation that require taxes to be paid on Social Security benefits. If those paying this tax are freed from paying those state taxes on their Social Security benefits, those savings will have real results. A difference of $500 in savings each year to a senior citizen means an easier time paying their water bill, their car insurance, or their heating bill. Minnesota has a sizable surplus this year. With the rising cost of basic necessities that we're all seeing, RAMS believes that now is the time to eliminate the state's tax on Social Security benefits, and we would urge your support of the House File 2788. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rukavina, and I have to ask, how are you related to the beloved Representative Tommy Rukavina?
That was my dad, so yeah. I was many years growing up coming down to the state capitol. And it is kind of fun, I will say, to have a Rukavina Garofalo in the same meeting room again today. I know.
That's great. He, Representative Rukavina was a member of the tax committee for many, many years. And if we could bottle all of the enthusiasm in his statements and passion, it would go forever. So thank you for your testimony today.
Thank you.
Next up, John Mulcahy. Is Mr. Mulcahy on Zoom? I don't see him. Okay, let's go to John Kingsbury, and Mary Jo Malecha is next. So, John Kingsbury.
Yep, thank you, Chairman Marquardt.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is John Kingsbury. I'm a Cottage Grove resident, lifelong Minnesota resident, been in Cottage Grove since 1984. I just started receiving my Social Security checks. Next Thursday is when I officially retire, but we've been looking at actually moving out of state just due to the taxes on Social Security and other state taxes that are just kind of a killer as compared to, you know, other states that are either in a warmer climate or even just neighboring states. My belief is for the Social Security tax to be eliminated from the state taxes would help senior citizens who are on a fixed budget. Kind of one example here now, I just got my property tax statement. And in 2021, it was like $3,784. This year, it's $4,048. And the same time, they sent my evaluation for the home, which for my next year's, the 23 taxes, the property value is going to increase by $66,700, which would greatly increase my taxes again. Whereas if we eliminate at least the Social Security income tax, that would give the seniors and people on a fixed income more money to pay more taxes, obviously. It's just kind of the same as, you know, the COLA for the Social Security came this year, and lo and behold, Medicare basically took that whole amount. So people are really not, you know, the seniors aren't coming out with a good deal as far as their budgets and everything else are going more back in the hole than they are going forward. That is really pretty much, you know, the representatives have covered up almost every other, you know, thing I've had on here. But the main thing I wanted to emphasize is, you know, for people on a fixed income with property taxes and heating bills, everything else, this would be a great benefit to not be taxed on Social Security income. And just like to say thank you to the committee and thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kingsbury, for that testimony today. Mary Jo Malecha and then Mark Haveman is on deck.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mary Jo Malecha. I live in New Brighton. I am a lifelong Minnesotan and I'm a leader with Isaiah. My husband and I are retired. We are fortunate enough to have good jobs with good salaries, and we consistently contributed to our 401ks. We own our home, we put both our children through college, and we live comfortably. Collecting taxes from people in my economic situation and better is one of the ways we are able to fund the programs and services that keep Minnesota a good place to live. Under the current tax laws, our lowest income seniors don't pay any income taxes on their Social Security income. So exempting all Social Security income will give the biggest tax cuts to higher income seniors. I do not need a tax cut. I can well afford to pay taxes. I expect to pay taxes. As Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. wrote, taxes are what we pay for civilized society. And frankly, I don't understand why we would give tax cuts to people who do not need them, when the consequence will be to put programs that seniors do need and count on in danger, and also threaten things our children and our grandchildren need, like quality education and childcare. Often the reason given by members of the legislature for not passing bills that would benefit our families and our underserved brothers and sisters is that we cannot afford it. This unnecessary tax cut will only make that situation worse. In Minnesota, we care for each other. This includes paying our fair share so that our less fortunate brothers and sisters can have what they need to thrive. I encourage you to vote against these bills.
Thank you, Ms. Maleka, for your testimony. Thank you. Next, we have Mark Evman and then Vicki Lambert on deck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. For the record, I'm Mark Haydman, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Center for Fiscal Excellence, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify this afternoon on House File 2788. It's certainly understandable that there are concerns over how Minnesota's tax policy may be impacting senior welfare and behaviors. As we found in our most recent individual income tax comparison study, Minnesota income tax burdens for married joint filers beginning at the $75,000 level and upwards are either second or third highest in the nation. However, the full exclusion of Social Security income is problematic policy based on purpose, practice, and principle. Excluding all Social Security income is targeted tax relief, and the target in this case are Minnesota's higher income seniors. According to House research, less than half the Social Security receiving households pay tax on their benefits. The Department of Revenue estimates that the amount of taxable Social Security income in the state's top population decile is greater than that what exists in the bottom seven population deciles combined, which consists of households with incomes below $96,000. The purpose of prioritizing this subset of taxpayers needs clarity. If the purpose is to keep higher income retirees in state, exempting Social Security is unlikely to stop them from leaving. At these higher income levels, the exposure of other taxable income to Minnesota's tax rates will drive any tax-motivated relocation. Research has found the top 40% of senior income earners receive less than a third of their income from Social Security, the top 5% less than 15%, and that relative share of Social Security may be significantly overstated. If the impetus for moving is income taxation, there will be much better tax situations and plenty of motivation to move to other states, even if all Social Security income is excluded. In other words, retention bang for the buck would be minimal if it would exist at all. If the purpose is to stop the double taxation of Social Security income, out of respect for time, I would simply note that what exists now is not double taxation, and I'd be happy to comment on that further. But perhaps the biggest problem concerns a matter of bedrock tax principle. Excluding all Social Security benefits from income taxation would create major horizontal equity problems in our tax system. Treating households with the same incomes differently based only on where the income comes from. It would not be unusual to find situations where senior households would have incomes exceeding the state's median household income before incurring a single dollar of state income tax liability. There are better uses of the money in the form of better designed tax cuts or needed spending, depending on what your fiscal perspective might be. There are also better targeted and efficient ways to help seniors. Further tweaking of the subtraction, increasing the state senior standard deduction, property tax refunds, expanding the senior property tax deferral program are just some possibilities. Regardless of how big or small one thinks government should be, once the total cost has been determined, the burden should be fairly shared. Eliminating the taxation on all Social Security income would be a major step in the other direction. Full exemption will result in many taxpayers shouldering higher income tax burdens, even though they have, in many cases, lower incomes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Haydman, thank you so much. We're going to listen to two more testifiers, and Representative Droffel, you'll be first. So again, I'm asking all testifiers to please stay on the virtual meeting here. So Vicki Lambert and then Nan Madden. Vicki Lambert.
Good afternoon, Chairman. Thank you very much for having me today. And good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Vicki Lambert, and I'm from Red Wing. And I am... I'm here because I'm a citizen that believes that all Minnesotans need to look out for one another. And I want to believe that my government works for me and others because I'm a citizen. And every single person who lives in Minnesota, regardless of their background, skin color, and socioeconomic status, should be able to benefit from legislation. And my faith tells me that we have the resources needed for all people to have the opportunity to thrive, and that it's underscored by Minnesota's projected $9 billion state surplus as well. And Social Security is a benefit awarded to those who have qualified. And it is true that a portion of that is taxed. However, there are some legislators advocating for just the wealthy to get this biggest break. And the proposal for unlimited subtraction of Social Security income from taxable income has been framed that this tax cut would actually benefit all of our elders, when in fact, the heart of this proposal only benefits the wealthiest Minnesotans. Only joint filers making over $78,000 and single head of household filers making over $60,000 would get this tax relief. Those with lower incomes would see no relief. Most of the benefit of it would accrue to households making six figures and more. It's clear to me that this proposal helps the rich get richer and does not help the poor people at all. Instead of giving already wealthy people another tax break, there are investments, ladies and gentlemen, in our communities that we need to prioritize. We have this massive state budget surplus due to chronic underfunding of public goods and resources that our communities need to thrive. And Minnesotans have survived through this pandemic by coming together to support one another. And frankly, it's irresponsible for elected leaders to prioritize tax cuts in this moment before addressing the acute needs of our communities. Here's what we could be funding instead. We could be fully funding public schools. We could support English learner education, special education programming, mental health care. We could be providing a health care system which is accessible for all people, particularly rural Minnesotans. And it would benefit all of them, regardless of their socioeconomic status, background, or skin color. And we could be investing in 100% clean energy and farming practices so every human being can have clean air to breathe and clean water to drink. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lambert, for your testimony. And the final testifier I have is Nan Madden. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Nan Madden. I'm director of the Minnesota Budget Project. Thanks for the opportunity to testify today with concerns about House File 2788 and House File 26. We all value the contributions that Minnesota seniors make to our state and are rightly concerned about the struggles that some Minnesota seniors face. But I'm concerned that these bills would make it harder to ensure that all Minnesota seniors are secure and thriving, our kids and young people get off to the strongest start in life, and families and communities are strong. My first concern with these bills is their high cost, which is more than $1 billion per biennium when fully in effect, and that cost would grow in future years. Minnesota is fortunate this year to have large projected surpluses, but these bills would reduce state revenues at the same time that the number of seniors needing services is growing, whether those be community-based services that allow seniors to stay in their homes, transit, or high-quality nursing home care. Some have pointed out that other states don't tax Social Security income, but those states will find it more difficult to provide the services that seniors count on, as well as invest in families and communities. The cost of senior tax breaks provided by states is expected to more than double by 2030 as the number of seniors grow. My second concern is that these bills are poorly targeted. As you heard, Minnesota already takes a responsible and targeted approach to taxation of Social Security, where the lowest income Minnesotans pay no income tax on their Social Security, and everyone has at least some of their Social Security exempt. The lowest income seniors would see no benefit from these bills, but they would feel the greatest harm from a failure to invest in services today and from potential cuts in services in the future. Instead, The Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy estimates that 58% of the total tax cuts from exempting all Social Security income would go to households in the top 20% of the income distribution. That's incomes over $134,000. These high-income households would receive annual tax cuts of $1,000, $2,000, or more, simply because Social Security is one of their sources of income. Rather than provide the largest tax breaks to high-income seniors, I encourage you to continue to take a targeted approach to Social Security taxation and the needs of Minnesota seniors that also focuses on sustainably funding the public services that seniors and other Minnesotans count on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Madden. So is there any other testifiers that would like to testify on House File 2788 or House File 26? All right, I'm going to go to members, and we had Representative Garofalo was up first, but I...
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that.
And Representative Garofalo.
First of all, can you hear me okay, Mr. Chairman?
We can now. Yeah, it was a little light at first when you started, but...
Well, thank you. I have a question for the highly respected executive director of the Minnesota Center for Fiscal Excellence, if he's available for questions.
All right, Mr. Haveman.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very good. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My first question is, Mr. Haveman, you said that this is not double taxation. When we tax senior citizens' Social Security benefits, you said if people had questions, we should follow up on that. So explain to me why a tax on a tax is not double taxation.
Mr. Haveman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Garofalo, it gets to the comments Mr. Williams began with in the introduction. Our current tax treatment has its roots in the National Commission on Social Security reform appointed by President Reagan. I think it was in 1983. Anyway, Social Security then was determined to be treated as an earned benefit by the federal government, and its taxation would be modeled on the taxation of private pensions, in which paying income to the extent of that benefits exceed contributions. So the 85% taxable cap established by the federal government exists because the actuaries determined that no Social Security beneficiary had paid through withholding for more than 15% of his or her own benefits. So we're really kind of treating this like retirement income. And that's, again, based on what the federal government in the Reform Commission 30-some years ago determined would be the appropriate way to do this.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Garofalo.
And to, again, the highly respected executive director. So when I look at my pay stub and I have a 401k contribution to my personal retirement, or if I make a deductible IRA contribution, I don't pay income taxes on that. Is that correct?
Mr. Haveman?
Not at the time.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman and Mr.
Representative Garofalo.
When my Social Security taxes are taken out of my paycheck and given to the federal government, do I pay income taxes on that?
Mr. Haveman?
Mr. Chairman, you will when you start receiving benefits.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Garofalo.
My apologies. Limitations of Zoom, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to speed things up for you.
No, you're good.
So, Mr. Haveman, if the 6.2% in Social Security taxes that I pay right now, and they're taken out of my check, is that done on a pre-tax basis or a post-tax basis? Because when I do my taxes, and as I've done them for the last 30 years, I'm paying taxes on those. That's not a deductible contribution. My gross income and my Social Security income are exactly the same. I'm paying 6.2% on my salary. So it's not like I get to deduct those taxes today, unlike my 401k contributions or my deductible IRA contributions. And so that tax treatment right now, I am being taxed on the income that I'm paying to the government that very first time. Explain to me why I'm wrong.
So, well, Representative Garofalo, if I might step in on this. So I think part of the misinterpretation on this double taxation is that you're taxed on the contribution. So let's say you're making $50,000 and it's 6.2%, that'd be $3,100 of taxes. And so you're first taxed on that $50,000, and part of that is at $3,100. So it's not like deducted. So you are paying on that $3,100. And then you get taxed on the benefit side at the end. And I think that's where people get the misinterpretation that there's double taxation. But what Mr. Haveman is saying and what Mr. Williams said is that we only pay a portion in a payroll taxes, which are our contributions. We only pay a portion of what we end up getting in expected benefits. And so, you know, remember, you're paying 6.2%, your employer's paying 6.2%, and 10% of the interest of the trust fund helps pay for a portion of everything. And so, as Mr. Haveman mentioned, it was actually back in 1993, the Social Security Administration's Office of Actuary, what they did is they looked at what is this percent of payroll tax or contribution as a percent of what you're going to get in expected benefits. And what they found then is they did the actuary and they said, okay, what's the average person, average earning going to pay in on contribution? What, based on demographics, are going to be your expected benefits? And the group that they found that probably paid the most as a percent of their expected benefits was high earning single males, because they were high earning, which means they probably paid more. They were single, so they didn't have dependents, which is part of Social Security, and they were not a woman, and women live longer than men. So they figured the person that probably had the highest ratio to contribution to expenses was the same. And they calculated that at 15%. They said at the time that the average person in 1993 was only about 4 or 5% of their contributions was part of their benefits. And new ones, it was about 7%. So the 15% was the max. Hence, that's why the federal government, as Mr. William, Mr. Haveman mentioned, when you pay on your benefits, you are always at the minimum excluded by 15%. So you're not. Now, there is a caveat on that, Representative Garofalo, is that they have not done an updated actuary since 1993. And could there be some people that are high earners and you die young and whatever, and you know, after paying? Yes, I suppose you could. There's possibility you could be paying more in taxes than what you contribute. But for the most part, there is no double taxation. And that was why the federal government in 93 decided to exempt at minimum 15%, because they thought that was the highest ratio of payroll taxes to expected benefits. So that's, you know, a lot of that is in that one thing I was mentioning from House Research. And the work that Mr. Haveman has done. So,
well, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to badger the committee or badger Mr. Haveman or badger you, but I do think that there are definitely some government verbal gymnastics that are going on to say this is not double taxation. I pay a Social Security tax. I don't have a choice. The government takes that money from me, and it's done without any deductibility. That's what happens right now. That money goes off to the government, where it goes into the government mixing bowl, and then at some point, if I live long enough, if I start collecting benefits, and on those benefits, I will pay taxes. So I have paid taxes on the front side, and I'm paying it on the back side. Now, my Minnesota math tells me that's double. That's twice. Yep. Now, I understand that if I make a deductible IRA contribution, that I am not paying taxes on that contribution. Right? I'm receiving an immediate benefit. Then when I take the distributions when I'm older, I will pay taxes on it. I'm paying taxes on it once. If I make a 401k contribution, same thing. I don't pay taxes on it when I put that money into my 401k. But when I retire and take it out, I pay taxes. Same thing with a Roth IRA, where at the back end, there's no taxation, but it's taxed on the front end. And so I just have a fundamental disagreement about how people are attempting to characterize this as single taxation. It's a tax on a tax. And that's, I guess we can go back and forth, but that's the perspective I have. And I think, Mr. Chairman, that view is one that is held by the vast majority of citizens in the vast majority of states. I believe this was said earlier in testimony, but according to AARP, I think we're at only 14 states tax Social Security benefits. Is that the right number?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Garofalo, I think we're one of 12 or 13 states. I think there was 13, and I think now one is not. So it's, I think it's 12 states.
Okay. So clearly, Sorry.
No, you go ahead and finish, Representative Garofalo.
No, so clearly Minnesota is an outlier in tax policy. The idea that people should not have to pay taxes on their Social Security benefits is not some sort of far out, winged out government policy. The overwhelming majority of states do not tax Social Security benefits. Minnesota is an outlier. And so to the degree that we are providing financial incentives or disincentives for people to leave or migrate to our state, we need to be mindful of that, not just from a wealth perspective, but in terms of talent, in terms of experience, and making sure that we have the, we're keeping these resources in the state of Minnesota. We do not want people to leave our state. And that is obviously something that's been going on for many reasons, for many years. We want to keep those people here. But the state of Minnesota and the residents of Minnesota, government is big enough. Government has plenty of money. This is a time for us to be reducing the cost and burdens of government, not trying to defend the status quo, this labyrinth, this behemoth government we have. So, Mr. Chairman, that's my opinion. Last question for you, Mr. Chairman. Is there any chance that this Social Security bill, the tax of benefits, that we're going to see this as a standalone bill so members of the legislature can get a straight up and down vote on it? Is that what's the batting average likelihood that we're going to have a chance to do that?
Representative Garofalo, there will be no standalone provisions from the tax bill at this time, whether or not it's Social Security or a 2-cent fee going out on something. It just is not going to happen. Yeah.
The evil of the omnibus bill strikes again. So the reality is, regardless of my passion about this, that if we want to have a standalone vote on this bill, that's going to have to wait until 2020. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the dialogue and the opportunity to.
I appreciate that, Representative Garofalo. And I do want to come back to the double taxation, because the definition typically of double taxation is taxing the same income twice. And that does not occur.
That does not occur.
You do not tax the same income twice. The confusing part is that you are actually being taxed on both ends. But the fact, again, is that your contributions are such a small percent of your ultimate benefits that you are never taxed on that same income twice. If you were to calculate all of your benefits and that and what you were taxed on, it wouldn't equal. It would be less than that. Now, like I said, maybe there are certain instances, but I know we've got other testifiers, but one thing you're going to find out here is that there will be tax cuts for senior citizens, and they include Social Security benefit tax. I think on a bipartisan basis, strongly, we would like to do that. The thought is, where can you best spend your dollars? And when I talk with seniors, the two big things that they're concerned about the most is independence and health care. And independence would be, you know, being able to stay in your home and being able to live where you've been your entire life and raise your family. And as Mr. Kingsbury mentioned, and I calculated, his property taxes went up 7%. And seniors want to be able to stay in their home and be able to host Christmas when they have the grandkids and they raise their kids and stay in their rental units. And they also want to make sure that they have high quality health care when they need it. And so, there's going to be plenty of very significant tax cuts for senior citizens in any bill we do. And I think, folks will approve of that. And so it's just a matter of where you have the dollars and where to put it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to come back over
the topic. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. And first of all, let me say, I am going to miss this. I just want to let you know that I miss you and I having these sorts of conversations. So best luck in the future. But Mr. Chairman, I do want to clarify. So maybe we're using different definitions of double taxation, because when a person makes $50,000 and they pay $3,100 in Social Security taxes, aren't they paying income taxes on that $3,100? Isn't that part of their taxable income?
Yes.
Okay, so they've paid tax on that. Now, fast forward 20, 30, 40 years later,
when they're drawing down their benefits. They are paying taxes on those benefits. That is a tax on a tax. And that does not exist in 401ks. It does not exist in deductible IRAs. And it doesn't exist in Roth IRAs. That dollar is being taxed twice. It is taxed on the front side. And then when it yields a return in the future, it is taxed a second time.
Mr. Chair, can I jump in?
No, I think what Representative Lessigard, I think what I'm going to do is let's just the double taxation issue, let's just leave it right now. What I am going to ask staff to do is to put something together just to talk about this concept of the taxation and whatever, and let that go for to get out to members at a future time. But I appreciate that, Representative Garofalo, but we're going to move on, and I think we'll just end the double taxation right at this point. Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for hearing this bill subject. Thank you for Representative Juergens and Lislegard's bills, and thank you for mentioning the number of other members that have introduced the very same provisions, including myself. I think, members, there's no question whatsoever, and what we're really talking about when you look at your gross paycheck, is it above the line deduction or below the line deduction? And clearly, Representative Garofalo has adequately described just that. It is a deduction above the line, and it's fully taxable, as well as a deduction from your net pay. So then when you do draw it, you are taxed again. I think Representative Lislegard touched on a pretty important aspect of what Social Security is, and he made a comment that this is a policy decision of fairness. And he's exactly right. Members, pre-1935, when this subject was being debated before Congress, and it had to meet a test, and that test was, and when you look at your paycheck, it says SSI. What does that mean? Social Security Insurance. Insurance, an insurance premium. Now, we get to the taxation part of it. How many of you would feel good if you had storm damage to your house and you paid insurance and you're getting that money to repair your home and had to pay income tax on the insurance? In Minnesota, we recognize that insurance is not taxable, casualty. And in many ways, the Ponzi scheme of Social Security is a casualty to most people, because if you took the amount of deductions that are taken from your paycheck, you were allowed to put them into a private savings plan or pension. Even just simple math, rules of 72, by the time you begin paying as a teenager working a part-time job all the way to retirement, you'll have much more money than you will ever draw out of Social Security. Mr. Chair, you mentioned about the Reagan years and about, well, you've only paid in 15% of what your benefit is. While that may be true, 15% into 100 is approximately 1/6. There's been more than 6 times the rate of inflation since 1935 to 1993 when they made that. This is not being inflation adjusted. It is very problematic that we're talking about taxing this insurance benefit. Also, in the beginning, Social Security was not intended to be your retirement plan, nor is it still. It's supposed to be insurance to offset what inflation does to your personal savings. That's what the benefit is. It's supposed to be offsetting what inflation does to destroy your own personal savings from big government growing and growing and growing. So this is an insurance benefit. It's not a retirement account. Unfortunately, for many people in America, it has become the only thing that is protecting them from a soup line and living independently. Mr. Chair, 6.2% of your wages. It's very progressive at the front end. The more you make, the more you pay. And you know what? the more you pay at higher income eclipses what benefit you get from it. But once you do retire and you no longer have income, and when your Social Security benefit is calculated as part of your plan to retire, it should no longer be taxed. 6.2% for a typical wage earner, and those of us who have been self-employed pay 12.4% of our earnings into Social Security. So from a policy perspective, this is the right move. You've already heard other members talk about what our circumstances are. There is no need to be taking this added premium, being the outlier of states, from those who are on fixed incomes, regardless of how well you've planned for your future. It is an entitlement, and it should be paid in full because it is insurance, not a paycheck. And so with that, Mr. Chair, thank you for listening, and I fully support this effort to make a 100% exclusion for all Social Security receipts. Minnesota does not need to do this. And if now is not the time, it ever will be with $9.2 billion of spending.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, Representative Hertaus. So, members, we have three more bills. I've got Representative Swazinski, Representative Detmer, and then I want quick closing comments, if I could. I'd like to get the closing comments in about 4 minutes. So, Representative Swazinski and Representative Detmer, I'm going to give you one wrestling period. 2 minutes. That was the first period back in the old days. And so Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a quick note, I see Representative McDonald's got a Tommy Wirkovina button on. So good job there. Good job. Anyway, but quick, just a quick commitment to you, Mr. Chair. We really feel like this is a very important debate to have. And I will commit my caucus as much as I'm able to do that we will not. If you're willing to bring this as an independent bill to the floor, we won't amend it. We won't play games. We might even not even talk to it, but just give us a chance to vote on this as an independent standalone bill. And I promise you, we won't amend it and we won't play games with it. So just a commitment that I'm willing to make, and I'll work with you, with my caucus members, to keep that from happening. So thank you, Mr. Chair. We appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll take you up on those wrestling moves. But anyway, those that have been with us for a few years now, you know that I've worked several years on getting rid of the tax on the veterans' pensions. And it took 10 years to do that. It's always easy to start a tax, but it's hard to get rid of a tax. But what we did, I had research teams go check on other states. So there's only four other states that taxed the veterans' pensions. And they found that more money was coming into the state by veterans coming off active duty or coming back to the state and starting businesses and buying homes and vehicles and so forth. So that's a big plus there that for our veterans. But we could solve this issue today, this debate that we're having today, just get rid of income tax like seven other states have done. And that might be a big plus for our state. I think most voters would probably say, yeah, get rid of income tax. So I'll leave it as that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So thank you very much, Representative Detmer. We're now going to go to closing comments. Representative Juergens, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And also, I know that it's more of a procedural thing, but if we would move my bill after we're done with this, because I've got an amendment on my bill as well.
We will. We will.
Okay. Thank you. In closing comments, and just in the because of time, all I want to say is, in my mind, if it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do. You don't look at who might benefit from this. I disagree with some of the comments I heard earlier that a married couple earning $80,000 is wealthy. And I disagree that the reason we have a $9.2 billion surplus is because we're not spending enough. I don't agree with either of those two statements, but getting back to this bill, this is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for our seniors, and it's time that Minnesota, as Representative Garofalo said, we're an outlier with this tax, and I think that Minnesota should be the next state to eliminate state income tax on Social Security benefits. And Mr. Chair, thank you for the time.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Juergens, for bringing this forward. And in the bipartisan nature of this bill, Representative Leslegard. Closing comments.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. You know, to me, like I told you, it's a principle and a fairness issue, and I think it's the right thing to do for senior citizens across this state. And I do believe that it is more of a positive than any potential negative for cutting other programs. And I just want to say that I heard a lot of good testimony on both sides. People are very passionate about their position, and I respect that. I agree to disagree with some of your positions because I do believe this is the right thing to do, but I truly respect the dialogue, and I have no doubt, Mr. Chair, that your commitment to helping seniors across the state of Minnesota, however it is shaped, will be done. I just hope this is one of them, but I trust that we are going to be helping seniors. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Representative Lessigard, for bringing this forward. The chair will lay over House File 2788. Who would like to move House File 26, Representative Juergens?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Lessigard moves House File 26 to be laid over for possible inclusion. And Representative McDonald, I saw you raise, would you like to offer the A1 author's amendment?
Yes, sir, I would.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Representative Juergens, anything on the A1 amendment we need to know?
This bill was introduced last year, and so it had the effective date of 2020, and this just changes it to the tax year 2021.
Very good. Thanks you much. So, members, I'm going to call for the vote on the A1 amendment. All those in favor, say aye. Please unmute yourselves.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. The motion does prevail. The A1 amendment is adopted. So, thank you, Representative Juergens. The chair will lay over House File 26 as amended. So thank you again, Representative Lessigard, Representative Juergens,
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. And you know, if you want to change that and move this into Ways and Means, that would be okay with me as well.
Thank you very much for that advice, Representative Juergens. We're going to move to House File 3846. Representative Hansen, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There you are. All right. Welcome to the committee. Who would like to move House File 3846?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Herr moves the layover House File 3846 for possible inclusion into the House Omnibus Tax Bill. Representative Hansen, welcome to our committee. We've had good debate so far. Good to have you here. Would you please tell us what House File 3846 is?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members. I appreciate the robust discussion on this. House File 3846 is targeted to reduce taxes on Social Security income for over 350,000 people, keeping more money in the hands of Minnesotans who need it. 3846 is a step that I and many others believe is a step in the right direction. It's realistic, it's meaningful, and it's pragmatic. It's helping us move towards the direction of helping the Minnesotans who need it the most. The Posted House research document really summarizes this bill the best. So if you haven't looked at that yet, I'll just kind of read the summary here. This bill eliminates the limitations on the subtraction in current law and instead allows a 100% subtraction for federally taxable Social Security benefits for taxpayers who are below an income threshold. And that income threshold is established in the bill. It also changes the income measure that's used to phase out the subtraction. So under current law, the subtraction is phased out on provisional income, but under this bill, the subtraction is phased out by 20% of adjusted gross income that is in excess of that threshold. There's a fiscal note that's posted on the committee website as well, and more information about some of the precise calculations are in the documents. But you know, what I want to really add to this conversation when we talk about these very targeted changes is that every dollar in your pocket matters when you're relying on a fixed income. And too many people live paycheck to paycheck. You've probably heard me talk about this before, but 53% of people between the incomes of $50,000 and $100,000 a year live paycheck to paycheck. And nearly one in five of them say that they struggle to pay their bills. If we look at folks who make less than $50,000 per year, 72% of them say that they live paycheck to paycheck. with nearly one in three in this income bracket saying that they too struggle to pay their bills. So every little bit that we can put back in the pockets of Minnesotans who are living paycheck to paycheck matters. And it's up to us as legislators and advocates to find innovative and targeted solutions that are nuanced and that we have what it takes to address the complex issues, as we've heard a lot about today, that are facing Minnesotans. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much, Representative Hansen, for bringing this forward. And you did mention the revenue estimate. And so for 2023, it's $313.1 million. For fiscal 24, $347.7 million. And for 25, $375.7 million. And we inadvertently did not include the revenue estimate for the first two bills. So I will do those for the record right now. So this is for House File 2788 and House File 26. The revenue estimate for 2023 was $509.6 million. And then for 24, it's $547.3 million. And for 25, $578.6 million. So Representative Hansen, if I understand this right, you're kind of eliminating this complicated formula that Mr. Williams went over and basically say, if you're a married joint filer, $80,000 and below, there's no taxes, and on Social Security benefits, and on married separate filers, be $40,000, it looks like, and for a single or head of household, $62,500 is what it looks like. All right, thank you. So I don't see, there wasn't any testifiers for House File 3846. I don't see any. So Representative Hertog.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry. Hello. Very good. Did you like the? I'm sorry, Mary Jo George. I apologize. I see you on the list. So let's have you first of all testify, and then we'll go to our members. So
okay.
Sorry about that. Please introduce your name and please.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Mary Jo George, and I'm the Associate State Director of Advocacy for AARP Minnesota. And on behalf of our members, we would like to thank you for the opportunity to testify today on legislation designed to lower taxes on Social Security benefits. As we have testified in the past, AARP continues to advocate for a balanced approach that provides Social Security tax relief to low and middle income retirees. We have appreciated past legislative actions that have provided targeted relief to seniors up to the new income thresholds for taxing Social Security. Before these changes were enacted in 2017 and 2019, the thresholds had not been adjusted since 1984, meaning more and more retirees were being taxed on their Social Security benefits. So today we are here in strong support of Representative Hansen's bill, House File 3846, which does use a different approach than the subtraction in law today. Under this bill, as you heard, married couples with incomes up to $80,000 and single filers with incomes up to $62,500 would no longer pay taxes on their Social Security benefits. In addition, the bill allows for the subtraction to continue for individuals above these thresholds. There are several states that do use this approach, and New Mexico just recently passed a bill similar to this, although their income thresholds were a little higher. At AARP, we believe this approach is not only fair, but it's much simpler for Minnesota seniors to understand. Unfortunately, today, so many of our members are unaware of the tax relief provided in law. So this straightforward approach would be very beneficial. I have conversations almost daily on people who with our members who don't even realize they are getting a tax benefit or aren't even paying taxes today on their benefits. In addition, we think the added tax relief provided in this bill will go a long way in helping middle-income seniors who are feeling the pressure of rising costs and living on a fixed budget. And while we certainly recognize that a total phase-out of Social Security benefits is appealing, we also have had concerns that it is very costly. So in conclusion, providing more relief to middle-income retirees is consistent with our policy
that taxes should be one, equitable, two, consider people's ability to pay, and three, produce revenue sufficient to sustain essential programs for seniors and their families, as well as Minnesotans in need. So thank you very much for the opportunity to testify, and we would really hope the committee would adopt this mechanism. Thank you.
Ms. George, thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on House File 3846? All right, Representative Hertoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen, for bringing your bill forward. Again, this is another move in the right direction with regard to a policy perspective, and particularly for our seniors. Members, IRS data has indicated that more than $1 billion of adjustable gross income, taxable gross income, is leaving the state of Minnesota annually. Now, the Social Security bills that have been brought forth is not going to stem that in its entirety. But as people vote with their feet, which they can, we need to understand from a policy perspective that we're not just losing the marginal gain of taxing this one portion of their being a Minnesota resident. We're losing it all. We're losing all of their income tax on pension income, Social Security income, sales tax spent, and the consumption income. There's more to consider. And if we can move in the right direction, make ourselves more aligned with the majority of states and more tax competitive, there is no reason we should be encouraging those who are able to move to do so and move away from their children and their grandchildren. This is bad policy. So thank you, Representative Hansen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hertog. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions for Representative Hansen. First, Representative Hansen, as I read the bill, doesn't this create for senior citizens, a pretty significant marriage penalty, where they would, same amount of income would be taxed more for married couples that are senior citizens?
Maybe this might, Mr. Williams, can you address that and kind of what the current law is on that, Mr. Williams? I think that might be best.
Chair Markwart and Representative Garofalo, I think that under Representative Hansen's bill, there would be a marriage penalty because the threshold for married couples filing joint returns is less than twice the threshold for single filers. But I think that the relative that exists in current law as well with the existing Social Security subtraction. And so the thresholds in Representative Hansen's bill, as I understand it, are sort of proportional to the thresholds in current law, sort of the ratio of the single to the married filers.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so Mr. Williams, we're talking about right now 80, and as the bill is designed, it appears that the married number is 80,000 and the single individual number is 62,500. Is that right?
That's Representative Proffel, that's correct.
Okay, yes. Thank you. And then for Representative Hansen, you heard me talk to Chairman Marquardt about this earlier today. You know, we've got a problem with more and more decisions being made by fewer and fewer people. Would you support your bill traveling by itself as opposed to being tied to other members' bills?
Representative Hansen, you answer that any way you want because you're not the tax chairperson that decides that. So you go ahead and answer that any way you want.
Careful.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and thank you, Representative Garofalo. I was on the same lines. I don't make the decisions here, but I do think it's important that we have these conversations about finding nuanced solutions to complex issues. And so if that means that you'd like to join me to support this bill in the rotunda sometime, I invite you to join me there and let's talk to folks about finding these kinds of solutions. And Chair Marquardt, you are the best of the best when it comes to taxes. So I know what a good mentor and role model looks like. And so the direction that you take Minnesota, I believe, is the best for Minnesota.
So, Representative Garofalo.
So again, Mr. Chairman, it sounds like if we want to stand alone vote on this bill, we're going to have to wait until 2023. But I would encourage my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, this is not a talking point. That in 2023, you're going to be dealing with a vastly different legislature. One of the big changes that needs to take place is that we have more bills
up, straight or up or down votes on individual bills and not subject ourselves to the tyranny of the omnibus bill. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. And of course, in putting a tax bill together, you want it balanced. I mean, and we've talked about this from day one this year, is our priorities are to make sure, you know, we can provide tax cuts for families, for workers, for senior citizens, a balanced approach to, you know, folks who need help around the state. So, I mean, to just kind of put, you know, as you know, with omnibus bills, it's kind of take one part, you could get that passed, but maybe not another part. You don't have the balance that really an omnibus bill would really entail and make it strong. So we're going to have lots of tax cuts for, like I said, workers and families and seniors before we're all done. Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to thank Representative Hansen for bringing this balanced and thoughtful bill forward and for the discussion among committee members. Just one note with the net migration of folks. Studies have shown, and I've heard Representative Marquardt among others quote this, the biggest group of folks that are leaving are 18 to 24-year-olds. So that's why I'm very excited that Representative Herr has the college tax credit bill that we have in committee. That's just part of that whole balanced approach. So thank you very much, and thank you, Representative Hansen.
Any other members' comments or questions? If not, Representative Hansen, closing comments.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. I just want to say thank you for having this conversation. As somebody who was raised by a family who lived paycheck to paycheck, that every member of my family still lives paycheck to paycheck, this matters. And when you take the time to hear our voices, the voices of people that don't come from a high socioeconomic annual salary, it makes a big difference. You know, the amount of money that this can save seniors is half a month's rent or a couple cell phone payments and more groceries and the cost of medication. So I just appreciate taking the time to sit in the between of what is a very complex issue and to really look for how do we help Minnesotans who need it most. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Hansen. If we ever can make our tax policy simpler and more transparent, I am for it. So thank you for bringing this forward. The chair will lay over House File 3846. Thank you, Representative Hansen. Next up is House File 3461. Representative Leslegard, would you like to move your bill?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Leslegard moves House File 3461 for possible inclusion. You also have an A3 amendment, I see.
Technical change, Mr. Chair. I would move that as well.
All right. Representative Leslegard moves the A3 author's amendment. Members, any discussion on that? If not, I'm going to call for the vote. If you temporarily unmute, all those in favor of the A3 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A3 amendment is adopted. And before Representative Leslegard moves forward, there, I think in your packet now, there could be also something you can look at later from the Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement, Minnesota Public Employee Pension Plan Basic Member Information. It's kind of a good little information sheet there. So Representative Leslegard, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Certain public employees in Minnesota have public pension plans that make them ineligible to receive Social Security. But unlike Social Security, 100% of the pensions these retired public employees receive are eligible to be taxed. House File 3461 would create a tax subtraction for these public pension plans, treating them more like Social Security benefit and help more seniors. Some of those include the Minnesota State Patrol, police officers, firefighters, and PRA plans, and some teachers. All people who work hard for the state of Minnesota and throughout their careers to keep us safe, educate our children. This is why I brought this bill forward, because I believe that it's a fairness issue and we need to take it into consideration.
Thank you very much. So Representative Leslegard, is this providing the same treatment for those pensions as Social Security benefit recipients? Representative Leslegard?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you much. I don't see any testifiers, I don't think, on this bill. Members, questions, thoughts, comments? So members, I think one reason we've got the bill before us is kind of a discussion on, treatment of pensions and so forth. And these are pensions that folks contribute to and are also, taxed at the end. And on the revenue estimate for fiscal 23, it'd be $34.4 million. For 24, $34.4 million. And for 25, $34.5 million. I don't see any other comments. Representative Leslegard?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. We just need to take care of all of our seniors in Minnesota, not just those on Social Security, and that's what this bill does, and I would ask for your support.
Thank you very much, Representative Leslegard. The chair will lay over House File 3461. Final bill on the agenda today, House File 3930. Representative Frederick, are you Representative Frederick?
Mr. Chair.
There you are. Welcome to the committee. We need someone to move your bill.
So move, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bajie moves House File 3930 for possible inclusion into the omnibus tax omnibus bill. Representative Frederick, welcome to the committee. Might be just the first time, or have you been here one time before? Is this first time?
First time, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Please tell us what your bill does.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to talk kind of quick here, given the time. So my bill raises the tax deduction for Social Security, but it also does a similar thing to what we just heard from Representative Leslegard, where there are Minnesotans all across the state who do not get a Social Security check. Instead that they get a pension. And so you see that with the state patrol, police and fire, education, and other groups. And so because they do not get Social Security, when we talk about either eliminating or raising the deduction for that, these people would not be impacted by that at all. And so what this legislation not only looks to benefit Minnesotans by raising the Social Security tax deduction, it is also looking to give a similar deduction to those who only draw a pension plan. And so with that, I will turn it over to the testifier, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so thank you. We have Brian Rice. Mr. Rice?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Nice to see you all. My name is Brian Rice. I'm an attorney in Minneapolis. I'm here today on behalf of the Minnesota Police Fraternal Association. That's a group of about 850 retirees in the parapolice and fire system. Actually, a big cohort of our group are surviving spouses of police officers, because it's an older group. There's about 10,000 retirees in that system. I also represent the Minnesota Professional Firefighters. And thank you to Representative Frederick, and also my good friend from the Iron Range, Representative Leslegard. These are the orphans of retirees. You seldomly look at these people, but they need your help, and it is a fairness issue. Many of these retirement plans in police and fire go back to the 1800s. They preceded Social Security by 50 years. And when the Social Security system was adopted, Congress allowed states to decide whether or not to sign the compact and put their employees into Social Security. Minnesota has never done that. Police and firefighters get their entire pension, their disability, their basically survivor benefits from the Minnesota state legislature, and you're basically taxing them in a way different from Social Security. And it's a small group. Representative Frederick's bill not only deals with police and fire, there's a number of teachers, and you would know some of these colleagues, Mr. Chair. Until 1978, many of the systems had basic plan members in our three large cities and even some in TRA. So there's still some teachers around that were not in Social Security until after 78. There's the Minneapolis City Employee Groups, MRF, that are not in that pre-80 that are still alive that are not in Social Security. And they're affected by Representative Frederick's bill. And significantly, Representative Frederick also takes care of our federal employees. Again, you know, Social Security was a great system, but the federal government didn't enroll their employees in it. So there is a significant group of people that have have not benefited from even the work you've done in the past on Social Security. The fiscal note is not enormous. We know that money is tight, Mr. Chair, but this is really a group that's being discriminated against. And there, I don't know that it's an intentional act. It's more being overlooked. Like I said, these systems, to get police and fire to do their work back in the day, they were some of the first pension systems by government in the 19th century. And it's a bit of an oddity. I haven't reviewed the pension commission does a good staff on giving you these numbers. These are people who do not fall into those top three tiers that Mr. Haberman talked about earlier, of income. Many of them are fairly modest. They're an older group. So really, Representative Frederick, thank you so much. Representative Liz Lagarde for bringing this issue forward to the committee. It does not get a lot of attention. We've knocked on your door before, Mr. Chair. We're not saying it just always falls through the crack. And to the extent you fashion anything on Social Security, this is really a group that deserves your attention and some consideration for whatever means testing you want to apply to it. But and I know a number of these police widows that are getting by on not a lot of money. So some of the comments that were made earlier by Representative Hansen and other the retirees group, this could be very meaningful relief for a group of very devoted public servants who could use it. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rice. Any comments or questions on House File 3930? Representative McDonald. Representative Swazinski, and then we'll go to Representative McDonald. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just was seeing, is there any income limits with this bill as far as it kicking in or not?
Yeah, so I'll go to Mr. Williams on this. It would be the same, I believe, as Social Security with the phase out and so forth. But basically what this is changing is that the subtraction from 5,400 and 50 to 7,000 for everyone across the board. So, but Mr. Williams, can you correct me on that?
Chair Marquardt and members, that's correct. In the bill text, the phase out threshold for married couples filing joint returns is $81,630, and for single filers, it's $63,770. I believe this bill was introduced before the February forecast, so I think those are the November forecast numbers for tax year 22.
So, Representative Swazinski.
You know, and I think, you know, I would support that we don't have a phase out as well with this as the Social Security as well. So, thank you.
Thank you. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Rice, for your explanation of who receives this. But just wondering, what's the fiscal note? You said it's a small amount, but I was just curious what that amount is.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. I had been neglectful in my duties to do that. The revenue estimate for fiscal 23 is $29 million, fiscal 24, $31.4 million, and for 25, $32.7 million.
Mr. Chair, this would be the cheapest.
Mr. Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be the cheapest, the least expensive measure, I think, that's there. And it really is a fairness issue. But I know all these are expensive, but this is a group that has not enjoyed the treatment that other people have where they've been in Social Security. And just remind you, even to police and fire that are in Social Security, if you worked another job, there's a huge federal subtraction that was done in the 1983 tax bill so that your money is offset. If you have a non-Social Security pension, there's a 30 or 40% reduction in your Social Security because you weren't coordinated with Social Security. Representative McDonald, your father would have had that because he, like my father, was a legislator. So whatever pension he got from the legislator's plan, whatever Social Security he was otherwise entitled to, he had to take a pretty significant reduction in his Social Security to get that pension by the state.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rice. And yes, with seven children, he certainly could have used it. That's for sure.
Every penny.
Yes. So thank you, Representative Fredericks, and the rest of the authors today on this important legislation. It's an opportunity to give it back to the people, and something very necessary. And as almost everyone said, except for those who are opposition to the bill, I don't know why they explained it, but I still don't understand it. It's a fairness issue. So good work. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Representative Frederick, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just say that I hope that in any conversation going forward with whatever this committee chooses to do regarding Social Security, that we just don't forget about the others that are in retirement age and drawing on pensions, that we don't forget about them and we are inclusive of them as well. So that way we can say that we are helping all Minnesotans. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Frederick. The chair will lay over House File 3930. Members, thank you so much for your discussion today. I mean, we all on a bipartisan basis want to protect our senior citizens' quality of life. And it can be, you know, cutting these benefit taxes on Social Security, pension taxes, cutting property taxes, it'd be making sure our healthcare costs, our healthcare system is good and top notch. And so I think we all agree on that. So this was really good discussion today. Tomorrow we come back, we've got five bills, and then I'll let you off for the weekend, but we've got one more day. So members, thank you much. We are adjourned.